All right, welcome back to Cosmic Disclosure. I'm your host, David Wilcock, and I am here with Emery Smith and Corey Good. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the battle between the Cabal versus the Alliance and the enigmatic mystery of QAnon, a weird thing that is appearing on 4chan. Emery, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here, Dave. Thank you.
And Corey, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
The internet has been extremely captivated since late October 2017 with a phenomenon called QAnon. This is posts that are occurring on the 4chan message board, which is totally anonymous. Corey, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you know about the QAnon phenomenon based on your own most cutting-edge briefings?
They know exactly who this group is. And
who's they, first of all?
The Alliance.
Okay.
The Alliance, this is pretty much a... People don't like the word propaganda, but that's a military term. It's the information outlet mouthpiece of the Alliance. It's one of them. And they're actually delivering operational codes and messages through this 4chan or 8chan website.
Operational codes to various factions of the Alliance, to themselves?
Right.
Really?
And it's made up of, I'm not going to go into detail because I don't want to compromise anyone, but it's made up of a lot of DOD types, mostly retired, who are a part of the Alliance. And it comes from people from all sides of the aisle.
So it's interesting because if you dig into the Q stuff, it starts on October 28th. And by even just within the first few days, there's a very clear blueprint of what we've been prognosticating for many years, which is these mass arrests. So, Corey, could you explain a little bit about how has the mass arrest plan evolved and what is going on now?
Well, there's been a desire for a mass arrest for decades. But as I've stated, the cabal would basically have to arrest itself. They had people in control of the DOD, you know, all of the branches that you could think of the government and other governments. This is not just a U.S. thing. According to the latest briefings that I've received, we are finally in a position to where they're going to be able to have mass arrests. But they're debating on how much of it will be public and how much will be done in secret court cases.
Emery, are you familiar with the Alliance and a plan to create disclosure by arresting some of the key people that are standing in his way?
Yes. I'm aware of many factions of the Alliance because it's not just one group. It's actually multiple, I'll say, groups. Yeah.
And it's a mess trying to get all of them to work together.
Right. But they all have, of course, the very similar goal, and it's to, you know, disclose and get all this out. So just through, you know, what I've heard recently through contacts and stuff is that, you know, they are planning this, you know, this mass judicial court on all these people. And I don't know when. I have no idea about time. But it is the main focus on their pyramid of things to do.
And also, I believe QAnon is going to be a part of the data dumps that we talked about as far back as 2015. We've been seeing in 2015, 16, we're talking about data dumps occurring, how they weren't going to do it all at once. They're going to do it in pieces, and then it was going to turn into a data dump war between the cabal.
Right.
Because the Alliance, the people involved in the Alliance are not angels by any means.
Right.
So we're going to see a little tit-for-tat, you know, document dump war going on.
So the excitement factor on the internet about this is huge because we also have, some people have said, up to 13,000 sealed indictments. And so, Corey, as those indictments get unsealed, what are we going to be seeing? Who are these? Why would you seal indictments, first of all?
Well,
and what happens as they become unsealed?
They will seal an indictment so that the details of the indictment do not get out to the actors' cohorts or people that are helping them.
Right.
So the best way to wipe out an organization is to start indicting them one by one, but keep the indictment secret so that the details don't get out.
Well, if there's normally only 1,000 or 2,000 of them a year, and we're now looking at 13,000 searchable on public government databases, this would imply it's a very massive operation.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I guess a lot of people have been asking us, and we've gotten this question so many times, is Are we going to see any of this? Or because people are worried about that part that you've just said, and they don't want it to all be covert. Yeah. So is there going to be some of it at least that is visible?
Yes, there's going to be a good deal of it that's visible. But the crimes against humanity, the charges will turn into corruption. You know, there's going to be a little skewing of some of the things to prevent people from being extremely upset and agitated, because there's some horrible things that are going to come out. But they want it to come out slowly. A lot of the human trafficking and crimes against humanity, people are just going to refuse to believe. So they're going to have to release information, but they want to do it in a slow, protracted way, you know, holding our hands like, you know, we're little children.
Right.
But the other, you know, the Earth Alliance has been working and making deals with the cabal, you know, helping them negotiate their surrender, basically. And part of that is that they don't think that we can handle the truth. Not all at once, anyway. We'll choke on the pill.
Well, Corey, this is a great time to bring up one of our questions from you, the viewers, and that is, we did have a question about the QAnon, and the questioner was asking, will we get secret space program disclosure through this QAnon process that's taking place on the internet now?
I think we might get little bits and pieces of information.
Mm-hmm.
Like recently, QAnon mentioned the SpaceX mission that was delivering, supposedly, the payload was lost. But a lot of times, that's what the
well, it was not lost.
Yeah, that's what the programs do. They'll send something up, say it was lost, whether it be a satellite to Mars or a satellite around the Earth. And then they'll put it into theater. What I'm told this one was, and it was alluded to by QAnon, was that this was an EMP device that not just does an EMP, but does a sustained EMP from geostationary orbit.
Hmm.
And they were planning on using that in a North Korean conflict, which is also what has been described. The MIC has been trying to figure out how to disclose some of their technology. And some of them have stated that this would be a position of strength to disclose this technology, a war on North Korea, that is.
Well, now let's bring that up for a second, because we have had a lot of people on the internet. I get a lot of these emails and comments where they're very upset about basically any military show of force whatsoever. Like, they would just prefer not to have anything happen. And so they're worried about the idea that an attack on North Korea is unprovoked. And yet what I am thinking of here is they look pretty darn provocative to me. They're constantly saying they want to nuke America.
Yeah, within the next month or two, they'll have the ability to deliver a nuclear warhead back through the atmosphere, have it survive the atmosphere.
Well, some people would say that's just propaganda and they're just a little backwoods country and they couldn't ever do that.
Well, they could never do that unless they had all the help from the cabal.
Right.
The cabal has been,
thank you.
A lot of material and scientific support has been provided to North Korea, not only through China, but through the cabal, who has basically just been giving them the plans to a lot of our technology. If you cut out the R&D process of creating new technologies, that's where most of the cost is. That's why China and some of these other countries that have gotten the blueprints after we did all the work have been able to spend a little bit of time and money and make it even better, make the technology better.
Emery, what are you aware of the relationship being between a country like North Korea and what we're calling the cabal?
They're funding it. They're funding North Korea. And I've seen the satellite images that North Korea already has, you know, two intercontinental ballistic missiles carrying huge nuclear payloads that are operational. But they're just still telling the story and playing the storyboard out. And, you know, nothing's going to get sent up anytime soon that I'm aware of, but that could change at any time. The cabal is behind this and funding the entire country.
Well, and Emery, I find it kind of interesting that in the 1950s we had the Korean War, which is North Korea versus South Korea, and the way that was sold to the American public at the time was that you actually have U.S. versus USSR, and it's a nuclear war.
That's what it was.
It's taking place in proxy at Korea.
Right.
So you're kind of saying that hasn't really changed.
No, it has not changed in all these years, and what a horrific war that was.
The war's never ended officially.
No. That's why there's a border there right now. They're just taking a little break with each other. until, you know, someone, you know, needs to utilize them to control the world in a different way.
Well, okay, you and I grew up, Emery, in the Cold War, you know, threat of nuclear holocaust. And we were taught the USSR is this big, bad nemesis. A lot of insiders I've spoken to have had a really different view of what the USSR was.
Right.
And what would your perspective be on that?
Well, I think there's a lot of communication, confusion, and disinformation. Yes, there was this Cold War going on. And then there was other countries that we had to start worrying about. And we weren't so bad after all. You know, I mean, the two countries, America and USSR. Because other countries, you know, started coming up with these technologies that we had to worry about and control. Because, okay, so let's just hold off on this Cold War for a little bit while we go start all these other little wars and also clean up all these, you know, these leaders that may be a little thinking abstract, you know, of taking over the world.
I think most of it's been a show because for well over 50 years, the Russians and Americans have been cooperating in space and working together and building these space stations and locations off planet together.
Sure. Yeah, no, like I said, that was just a little, you know, disinformation. A lot of things were going on back then that we couldn't know about. And it shows today and in the future, like you just said, you know, we're all working together and we see there's more threats out there than them. And well, this is what's going on.
I want to bring this up for both of you, and that is there's very compelling research about the idea that Wall Street financed the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917. Wall Street financed communism. Wall Street financed Lenin. Wall Street financed Trotsky. Wall Street financed Stalin. That this is all...
Come on. The Rockefellers were selling gas to the Germans and us at the exact same time, and we didn't get a discount.
Well, us having this conversation shows how much it's in the consciousness now of the public. I mean, if we're talking about this openly, I mean, that gives us a good idea why the last about 9 or 10 months, the cabal groups have been rushing to all of their underground bases, moving all of their family and supplies. One of the most advanced ones is in Brazil, and it is a super advanced base that has all the amenities that the elite would want. And they've been pouring into that thing like ants for almost a year.
That's a good place to have it for them. Anything goes.
I did hear from Pete Peterson that there's a whole area of Brazil that is basically like an undeclared nation owned by the cabal.
Africa as well. South Africa, parts of have been handed over to an off-world group. They don't even belong to us anymore officially.
Emery, we have seen a show recently on History Channel called Hunting Hitler, and it described an extensive German presence in South America where these investigators were going there and finding corridors underground in South America, in Argentina, Brazil, that had swastikas on them. And like a whole resort that's got like a swastika pool, like this giant swastika in the middle of a big swimming pool. Did you ever come into contact with that sort of information?
Yes, yes. And they were very busy beavers back then, the Germans, and they were setting up these places all around the world, not just there either. But it doesn't surprise me, you know, exactly what you just said. And people are stumbling upon these small and large bases that the Germans built a long time ago, and just dumped lots of money and many, many personnel for this to happen, and hiring locals in these third world regions to help do it and then killing them.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of bad things are happening with those, karmatically, with those bases being built or these underground cities, you know, that have been abandoned.
When you were in the programs, did you get any specific information about the relationship between Germany and the secret space program or advanced technology, extraterrestrials, et cetera?
Not while in the program, no.
So that was not something that they ever shared with you?
No.
Interesting.
No, I learned all about that after.
But you have mentioned, however, a very enigmatic experience that you had that confirmed something I'd heard, and that is some crashed underground UFOs. Mm. So one of them is in this area of South America. In light of these different crashes, could you talk specifically about the Ecuador and Costa Rica, and I want to hear what Corey has to say as you bring that up.
I recently was at two sites that had crashed extraterrestrial craft that went through the crust of the Earth or was transdimensionally going through the Earth and got stuck and crashed in a large cavern. And this, there's two of them, actually. There's one in Costa Rica, and there's one in Ecuador. And upon getting to this area and getting down into this hole and walking a few hundred feet, you know, is this craft completely intact and operational to an extent. And
what
all
did
this,
it look like? If you
and,
could,
and all
what
this,
did you see?
It was a disc type and more oval, more egg-shaped, but a disc. So smush an egg, and that's what you have. And it has all this beautiful flora and fauna growing around it, all bioluminescent. Even the ground is different. Feels like you're walking on memory foam.
In the cave.
In the cave, where there's no light at all. And all this stuff is emanating a very interesting glow, but not like a beam of light at all.
Right. A bioluminescent glow. Yeah, that barely lights.
Barely.
Yeah.
But that much, you could actually see some things. And even the animals down there were a little different. I mean, I remember seeing these naked, like, mole shrews type beings that were just scurrying around, and they were glowing. They looked normal.
They'd been eating the...
Right.
Right.
Yeah. They were genetically changing.
From consuming
the plants and being around the craft. And it kept us a very clean area, which I was very proud of them for a very long time. And what else can I tell you?
If you could tell us, what would you see on the surface? How do you get in? Is there like an outpost? Is there a little building?
Well, it's actually very deep in the jungle, and you have to take just a regular 4x4 there, nothing special. There's no cool jets or spacecraft taking you there, or maglev tubes, that's for sure. It's in a very inhospitable area, and once you get there, it's about maybe 20 miles from the nearest, let's say, village or city. So it's not inhabited in this area. It's actually a protected area. So the government there has set up a very nice, effective, amazing perimeter. It's very unlikely anything alive could get through the perimeter, and they have two satellites just for that area that monitor it. And they have, of course, the Costa Rican military in conjunction with the United States military there. But the United States does not have any ownership or is allowed to really be there to take the craft, which is I found very interesting. I think the reason the U.S. government offered the military security there is just so they keep an eye on things.
Well, now you said Costa Rican military.
Mm-hmm.
Does the Costa Rican military handle both Ecuador and Costa Rica in this case? Or does the Ecuadorian military handle Ecuador?
No, it's completely separate.
Okay.
And the one in Ecuador actually, I think, is controlled by, it could be controlled by the cabal. But it looks like a civilian corporation, which pays the military a presence there to operate.
So you go through the jungle.
Right.
You drive all these miles.
Right. Then you hike about a mile. And then they have a small station set up there near it, not at the entrance. And it looks like a hole in the ground, about 25 feet in diameter, and full of just, you know, plants and everything. So it's not like
it's like a cenote, kind of a cenote looking?
Yes, yes.
Sunken down area?
Right, sunken down, like a sinkhole in the ground. And then, and there's so much, you know, flora and fauna around this that it's not, has never been cleared because they're letting it grow. And if you go down in it and you get past
that. You walk in or you drive in or what?
Well, you walk, actually it's on a 45 degree angle for about 25 feet. And then there's a small ladder type thing that goes down halfway to another little area. But mostly everyone, they have these big conveyors with these pallets. It's very generic, but it's very strong. Nothing's going to happen. That lowers you and raises you up, and it can fit four people on there with gear. So they lower you down, and then it's very close to the surface.
Wow.
And then once you get past the the area where the light starts to diminish, maybe 100 feet or so, then you notice that the ground looks different and it's glistening. And then it gets really moist. The humidity is even more than what it is, yeah, which is 100% humidity at the top. So, you know, so you get down there. So you do have this like this glowing mist fog, you know, that's all over the place. But it's not spooky like you see in like Halloween and the Thriller video. Mm. It's just a very, it's just a small, you can see through the mist is what I'm saying, the cloud. And it stays about within a foot of the ground. And once you get up in there, then you see, you might see some animals, you might see some bats, and you might see some other creatures that we have on Earth, but they all look very different. They are different colors, they're iridescent, and they glow, and they're actually friendly. Like,
what was the size of the craft compared to the overall size of the cave?
The cave was not too large. It was maybe 75, 80 feet at its largest width. Down to the smallest width is around 35 feet, and then the entrance is around 20, 25 feet. So it varies in a type of cone shape where it gets larger and smaller, larger and smaller.
If there are caves like this that would have these weird animals and plants in them, and you could just walk into it, then why haven't they appeared other places that people have found and documented in this, scientific journals?
Right. This is the interesting thing. This craft is somehow emanating some sort of atmosphere inside the cave where these beings do not want to leave past a certain sphere of energy, which they measure to be about 120 feet. Mm. So it's just putting it right, that energy, right up to almost the entrance of this cavern within, you know, 50 to 80 feet.
Wow.
So what it's going on is because of this field of energy that they're measuring, that it's upregulating all the cells of all the plants and all the animals in a very, they're all very healthy too. And they're growing, the plants that are there are native to the actual cave. But the plants that are out of that energetic field are a lot smaller, and they don't have the same nutrient factor at all. And even the animals there are showing now through testing, which I just recently found out that I couldn't share earlier, was that they are very healthy too. And they have even longer nails and longer hair, and they're a little bit larger than the normal species of animals that are that usually located in this part of the cave, including the insects and the worms and the amphibians that make it down there.
Wow.
So it's a very dynamic ecosystem that this craft has created because of the energy that it emits.
What is the difference then between the Ecuador site and the Costa Rica site? Is it the same kind of squashed egg-shaped craft?
Yes, it's very similar. The craft is a little bit different, but for just the sake of explaining it, it really has the same effect on the animals and the mammals and amphibians that are in there and the plant life. Mm. And it looks like, too, when they, I think they took some sort of way to, they were measuring how long it's been there. And one of them is actually a little bit more recent than the other. So these craft have definitely recently have crashed there in the last 30 to 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And maybe even more recent. And people are finding, archaeologists are finding all through South America and Central America, all the way down to Peru, they're starting to go through these cave systems now looking for crafts and looking for different species. Because it's getting out in the village and the local population down there that these things exist. And now you have the birth of these treasure hunters and pirates and these, you know, these people that are smuggling a lot of this stuff out. So I was just informed down in Peru that this is happening, that they're pillaging some of the stuff. They're getting in, you know, past the security, and the security is actually, you know, part of this, you know, group of pirates and these people. The government hasn't taken over that one yet. So
that is really interesting, because this other insider that I've called Bruce had said that there was a lot of amazement about the similarities between what is in Antarctica and what was in Ecuador.
Right. And that's why they're in control of this site too.
Really?
So I'm interested to see, number one, physically see and record and bring something back to the public of, you know, what's going on there. We even have satellites that we're chartering for this, you know, this mission and everything, so they can follow us and people will be able to follow us and kind of make it public, you know, of what we're doing and see us. So that's another, you know, aspect to this is safety. And the safety thing is it's putting us on hold for a little bit.
What's the safety concern exactly?
Well, you know, anytime you bring in an outside group, and of course they know we're filming, you know, it's going to be limited to what we can see if I just went down there with the team.
Right.
So as a listener, I would rather have some photographic evidence or some video than to, you know, rather than listen to someone just tell a story about it, because it's nice to have some tangible things. And I'm also working with the Ecuadorian Costa Rican scientific team into maybe possibly getting something out of that cave to bring back, which is very difficult to do because of customs and everything else. It's not like we're in the projects anymore where you're in charge of billion-dollar equipment and transportation and you can do pretty much anything you want to sign off on. They get the boss to sign off on it. You know.
Corey, if we're seeing, like on Hunting Hitler, these Germans making pretty elaborate underground and above ground stations in South America, do you think they might have found something there that was interesting for them?
Absolutely. They've found craft, like he's discussed. That, I mean, there are a large number of craft that are fairly ancient that have crashed on Earth and are under the ground. So they've discovered those types of things. They've discovered ancient pre-Adamite bases or deep underground facilities that have been long since abandoned. And they found how to travel through the rift system that goes from North America all the way down to Antarctica. That's very deep, but it's a rift system that is filled with water that they travel up and down in an electromagnetic propulsed submarines that are huge. They're like the size of a container ship. They carry containers inside of them. I saw them unloading from one of these submarines. So,
does that sound familiar to you?
Yes, Cameron? Yes. I know about, because it goes under Nazca, Peru there, and they stumbled upon that accidentally using some sort of radar or something. And there are these large submarines using this aquifer rift highway, I'll say. And it goes all the way down south to Antarctica.
Well, Emery, in light of what Corey was saying with crashed UFOs being found there, what information do you have specifically about such crashed craft?
Well, you know, there's a couple different places on the planet that I'm aware of, like Costa Rica, Ecuador, Antarctica, and now I was just informed of in Peru. One that I'm scheduled to investigate in a couple months.
Yeah, I've heard about it for a while.
It's been, right.
Yeah.
There's a little war going on who's going to own that.
Yeah.
That the three tunnels that actually go to it. But what they didn't realize, it's a huge tunneling system that goes all the way to South America through the rock, though, not the aquifer. And that's a whole nother thing. And that's part of a more older ancient traveling way of travel, these giant lava tubes that go all over the place that pass through Nazca, Peru, where the giant craft is underground and people are coming out of the walls in suspended animation and many, many, many artifacts.
Yeah, and in Antarctica, they have a spaceport that was originally built by the Nazis, but then was handed over to the ICC later on as a part of some of the deals that they made. And it's one of the main MICSSP ports right now. There's also one that I was told was in Brazil, but I haven't heard any details other than that.
Interesting.
Well, Corey, why do you think right now that there's this mass exodus of cabal people going to these various underground and off-planet facilities?
Well, we're on a different timeline than the one that they had been hoping for. We are on a timeline now of all of this stuff being revealed. All of the horrible things that they've done, the crimes against humanity, are going to be revealed. And they're on the run. They know that, you know, the FEMA camps they built are now where they're going to reside. So they think that they can go underground, close the lid, and live out their lives until things, you know, go chaotic on the surface, and then come back and take over.
some people would feel like we shouldn't allow them to, quote unquote, run away, that if they leave or go to these places that we'll never see them again, we'll never be able to get them.
Some people think they're paying for their own prison, but the technology that we have, there's nowhere on the Earth that they can hide.
What about the solar system?
The solar system, there's nowhere they can hide. If these people found a way to get into restricted areas that are now controlled by the Alliance that gave them access to the portal system, they may make it through the portal system, but they're going to be on the run for the rest of their lives. They have the ability to track portal travel and, you know, by the energy resistance output from the portal, they can tell how far you traveled, and they've got it all worked out. Mm.
They basically, just so you know, also are not only running from us, but the extraterrestrials beyond this system also are aware of them. And let's just say there's a big reward for bringing them back to us. So they can go nowhere and not be found. I mean, they are honestly not that advanced compared to like what we have as well and what we are sharing with other civilizations. So we have this upper hand. It's just we're not using it yet until we get all the facts and have everything, you know, put in the right place. But it looks like we're right there because now they're running, which is a great thing.
Yes, we have a few more battles ahead of us, but it is very apparent that we've won the war.
Absolutely.
Won our freedom.
Well, in the hero's journey sense, the dragon that the hero has to slay is sitting on this gigantic mound of gold. What is the mound of gold?
Well, it's just abundance is what they're trying to, you know, I think show. Maybe there's something else to that. I
mean, what would we get once they're defeated? What will?
Oh, well, we have abundance. We have free water, food, clothing for everyone around the world. I know that's something normal. We all just dress up here in the U.S., but we're looking worldwide here and planet-wide where everything changes. And
no more hunger.
No more hunger. And just like here on Earth, it affects all the other dimensions and all the other worlds.
So wait a minute. You're genocidal. You're trying to set a population bomb. If people are going to breed like rats, this is what they say, right, in these programs. They're going to breed and breed. And how dare you let that happen?
Well, then we start moving off world.
Well, with this technology, and Corey knows this very well, that we will. We'll be in space. We'll finally be able to be in space for free.
That's what drives me crazy.
And we can sustain as many people on the planet as we want.
And it wouldn't take, it wouldn't take very long either. Because a lot of these places too, like on the other planets and the moon, there's already installations and things set up. And to bring people to space, once this is disclosed and everything, all the technology comes out and is controlled in a safe manner, that, you know, it's going to be unlimited of what you want to do and where you want to go. Because you're not going to be worried about working to pay that electric bill tomorrow.
I would also just point out that any time you allow a country to develop, they quickly reach zero population growth or even negative population growth because they don't need to have lots of children in order to survive anymore. So you have workers who are skilled who might not be as interested in building families anymore because they're out doing their jobs and stuff. But
yeah, they chase their passions now. Everything changes in yourself when you get to do something that you love.
And just another point is the whole discussion of overpopulation that the cabal uses as an excuse is a completely manufactured reality, right?
Right.
Corey, do you feel that's true? I mean, do you think about the space facilities? Do we have enough room for our population?
And we don't need really more room. It has to do with sustaining the planet and not using up all the natural resources. And we have the technology to not have to use the natural resources hardly at all.
Right.
And have an effect on the biosphere.
Right.
So we could have, you know, twice the people on the planet we do now and have, you know, a tenth of the carbon footprint.
Right, the imprint, right.
Well, I had one insider tell me that we could have 20 billion people live in the Amazon River Basin alone with the resources the planet has. A planet like Earth could potentially sustain far more people than we have comfortably. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
And don't forget, too, the technologies that come along with all this free energy and water and whatnot. Also, we get to clean up the oceans, you know, all this trash out there in the Pacific floating around and the oil spills and whatnot. So
living
all that
health
could be done in 2 days, you know, with this technology.
Absolutely. Well, this is really hopeful, and I want to thank both of you for being here. This is Cosmic Disclosure, and we thank you for watching.
coming this season on Cosmic Disclosure, where people share their clandestine involvement with government agencies, the military, and secret space programs.
One of the most interesting things we retrieved was a reptilian-like arm on a 10-foot piece of metal, which we later figured out this was a weapon.
From?
Not here, for sure.
Part of the training involves using a neurally operated gravity pack for a specialized convertible hang glider.
People are standing up to the cabal. Corporations are breaking away.
Like 160 countries have stood up to them.
Yes. I mean, it's the most beautiful thing ever.